Welcome to Bit by Bit, the podcast for riders, hosted by The Farmhouse Tack and AJR Sport. I'm Michelle Drum, e-commerce and marketing director at The Farmhouse and amateur equestrian. With us today is amazing amateur rider and influencer, Francesca Zaza. Today, we'll be learning about all kinds of bits and Francesca's journey as a rider and answering some of her questions about bits. Hey guys, what's going on?
We're great. How are you, Michelle?
I'm good.
I'm glad to be back for our weekly rundown here. I'm super excited that we can incorporate other people onto this podcast because it's just been the two of us, Michelle, and I think that it's really interesting to have other perspectives, other questions. So
absolutely,
this is really interesting, and I'm really excited to kind of run through this and get to it.
Yeah. Hey, Francesca, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you are, what you're riding, you know?
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you guys for inviting me. I'm kind of excited because I'm a huge fan of like the bit topic in general and like everything. It's kind of like new for me. I'm always the one doing the questions. So it's kind of nice to be able to talk for once a little bit more. But right now I'm in Cancun actually, because my parents live here part-time and I'm having a week of vacation because I really needed some time off. I'm based in Mexico City right now. I'm originally from Italy, from Rome. My mom is Mexican and my dad is Italian, so there's like a really cool mix going on there. I am an amateur rider. I have my three horses back in Mexico City. One is like a new project that I got like a few months ago, so it's kind of in the process of getting to know him and everything, and I'm, you know, enjoying the process. It's not been easy, but I'm really liking. I like the challenges with the horses, so it's kind of exciting. And then I have a 10-year-old mare that I really love that I've had for a year, and she's really fun and enjoyable to ride. And then I have a 5-year-old, so I'm kind of a little bit of everything.
Very good. So do you show much here in the United States or mostly Mexico?
So I was actually back in California for the winter circuit last year, like from December through March. And then I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I was like, oh, maybe I'll stay, maybe I'll come back. And I have most of my audience and most of the work, it's here in Mexico, especially because of like the interviews, the shows, etc. So I was like, I feel like it's better that I come back. And I've been in Mexico City since April, pretty much. So
tell us a little bit about your podcast.
Okay, so basically I started like 2 years ago, but I started doing like Instagram lives more for fun. I wasn't really doing it seriously. It was very improvised and I really had no idea what I was doing. But then I started like, you know, the audience started to grow and like people started to ask for more, and I started interviewing like top level riders. So I was like, okay, this is getting a little serious. Like I need to get a little bit more involved and like talk a little bit better and try to improve this thing. And then I started the podcast like a year ago, but I still do like on and off, mostly Instagram lives, and then some convert them to the podcast. And because there's different audiences.
What kind of questions do you encounter bit wise while you're riding and bringing along a 5-year-old and a young horse?
So it's a little different. And this is actually great question, because all my three horses are extremely different. So like obviously the 5-year-old, I literally use a simple snaffle, and then I do use a small gag bit to jump because she does have a little bit of blood, so I do need a little control for jumping. And then my 11-year-old gelding by Chaco Blue, you know, Chacos have a fame.
Everybody wants Chaco Blue.
I know everybody does want them, but they're a little complicated. So yeah, he's a little difficult. And you know, I'm constantly changing bits. Like I have 4 bridles set up and I literally rotate them. And then I have a 5th bridle in which I only use for jumping. So it's crazy. It's been so complicated finding like an accurate bit for me to like use day to day, because you know, they have a fame. They're a type.
So, you know, Michelle, we were talking about this, I think, in a couple podcasts ago, when one of the questions I was asked was, how often should I change a bit, right? And this was a question. And what I said, and I'll say it again, because it is a really valid and interesting point that you bring up, especially with a Chaco Blue. I had a Chaco Blue, Charlie P.S. It was the horse of a lifetime for me. She was also very complicated. It was very, she has a very difficult mouth. She was sensitive, but she was strong. She's strong, but she's powerful. She's powerful, but if you take away the power, she's jumping inverted. If she's jumping inverted, you're going to have 2 down, and she shouldn't have 2 down because she has so much quality. And then you find the right sweet spot and you end up jumping clear every single time. And you're like, what was that? Well, she's just pissed. She's doing it because she's mad.
Yeah, she's mad.
Sure you can relate to that, because that is what they do. So when we talk about changing bits all the time, I don't love that topic. And the reason is because in order to create consistency for a horse, for a rider, and for the feeling, you have to use a bit for at least a week, at least a week to truly know if it works or it doesn't work. Of course, if you put the bit in its mouth and it's offended right away, of course, logically, it's not a good fit. I do want to be very clear that everything I say is my opinion. My opinion can be wrong. Changing bits. I don't love it because I think actually you can do more harm than good, not physically, mentally for yourself as well. Riding is a mental sport, as you know. We have to be very focused when we're riding. There's a lot of more important things in life than riding a horse, except when you're riding a horse. We have to work backwards. You said you have four bridles, right, that you use for this horse?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what are on the four.
So I have literally a three-piece snaffle that I use for flatting only. I don't dare to go over any poles or anything, just literally for basic flat riding. And then, as you said,
you do what works for you.
So I have actually have two Western bits on my other two bridles. And to be honest, I only use them, like, I don't change every single day. Like, I may stick with one bridle for a whole week, but then he might get offended eventually because, I don't know, something in his brain clicked that day and he doesn't like it anymore. So that's when I change. But I usually do keep them for, like, a few days, like 5 days, and then change, or depends. It really only depends. Like, and if he's happy with that bit, I'm not changing it. You know what I mean? So the one that I have, it's like a Western bit, which has like a big ring with a different placings for the rein, in which you can do a little bit more leverage.
Yes.
And inside it's like twisted, but it's only like two articulations. It's not like in a three piece.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one I use that actually, it's weird because he's very easily offended with the things on his palate, like strong things on his palate. He doesn't like that. So I've kind of, you know, I'm getting to know him. So now I know what he likes and what he doesn't like. So in that case, for example, that bit, he doesn't get bothered that badly. But then I did try, and then we're going to probably get into that topic in a little bit, but I have tried normal swale bits with him, and it did work for a certain time, and then it got too strong for him and he didn't like it, so I had to switch again for jumping only though.
This is really interesting because when I break down these bits, what it's screaming to me, and I think Michelle will laugh because I say this every podcast, but I love my hinge bits. And why do you think this horse likes that wire more than the other bits? The horse likes that bit because the wire has a thinner diameter. And because the wire has a thinner diameter, the horse probably doesn't have a lot of space in its mouth. And because it probably could, I'm not a vet, have a low palate, it would make sense that he would prefer a twisted wire than a thick port or something else, a thick snaffle. I can imagine if you ride him in a Dutch gag or whatever, and it's a thick single joint rubber, he's going to tell you where to go. He is not going to like that, even though it's rubber. That is probably why that horse likes that bit more than the other ones. I don't think he particularly likes it. He probably tolerates it better than the other bits. And when you mention that the swale works for a certain period of time, that also makes sense because there are horses sensitive to pull pressure, but we'll get into that. So, however, you're also telling me you like a gag and you're also telling me you like leverage. And when I piece this all together, my first instinct is, A, this horse probably needs a hinge, and you'll never have to change your bit again because he's going to be happy. Or you need something that like rubber, like the rubber block a flexi bit, or the rubber block morph, or the rubber block straight that tapers towards the center of the bit to leave more space for the palate and the tongue. So that's like my first instinct.
Yeah, no, and absolutely, I agree with you. But like this horse came to me, like his anxiety level was, you have no idea how bad it was. Like it was really bad. So it took a few months. Like the first month, I literally only could ride him in a Western bit because if I would trot on a straight line, he would just take off and I was gone. You know, like, and I know, like obviously his face was all like closed up and he was clearly unhappy and he was clearly not right. But I was like, it's either that or literally like there's absolutely no control. So it did take a few months for him to start to relax, to kind of open up his face and like be able to go down. Like just knowing that I can do a flat ride with a snaffle, it's like a milestone. You have no idea.
Of course. So we talk about this all the time on this podcast as well. I think there's an application for bits as a training tool. You use the tool and you put it away and you downgrade when you achieve the result. I preach this constantly. You are always welcome to use a training tool when needed. Yes, you have to use a training tool. That's why they exist. But training doesn't mean all the time, and it's exactly what you said. You used it, and then you put it away, and you downgrade it to something that is simple and easy, and you have a nice result using that. So that's the right way to do it.
See, people say go from less to more, and I totally get it. And I've done it with a lot of horses that are normal and that have no traumas. I've always gone from like less to more if I need it, right? But in this case, it was either go from more to less or I die. So I didn't really have a choice.
You know, fair there's enough. Always that adjustment period with these horses, especially when they're new. And, you know, we have to trust our professionals that we work with. You chose not to win a battle. You're choosing to win the war. And I think that's really important. And the last thing I want to mention about this as well is, you know, nose bands are a wonderful, wonderful tool that people really don't know much about. And you know, if you combine the right noseband with the right bit, you would be really surprised. A horse that's super, super strong and super, super unrideable, how nice and easy you can make it without using its mouth.
Yeah, no, and it's so crazy because, you know, I have had so many different types of horses in so many different situations. But, you know, like switching to the kind of the topic of the bit that I've tried with him, I kind of wanted to go a little bit into the whole, because I've heard about the new Slalom bit by Carl Cook. Which is like Pelham and a Slow Bit put together type of thing. I've only seen it on your social media. And actually a friend of mine from Mexico bought it just recently. He posted a story and I was like, how is it? Tell me about it. Like, I need to know, you know, because it's...
So we have the leather covered port, okay? We have that in the long shank and we have that in the short shank. We have the swivel swellum, which is the swivel shanks. We have that in short and we have that in long. And then we have the short shank, this beautiful brass mouth with a copper center. And this mouthpiece I worked on for a long time to get it right. And when I presented it to Carl, I said, you know, I really think for like a Mulin straight option, this is going to be really nice. You know, Carl, I want to make it clear, these are Carl's designs. I contributed just to that mouthpiece. The rest is Carl. I mean, I have to tell you, he did an unbelievable job with that bit. Carl's very intelligent. He has a very good feeling with the horses. You know, I didn't really know that until I started, you know, really getting to know him. And he is gotta be one of the most in tune, you know, attention to detail, precise riders, and you can see it in the result here at the Olympic Games. And his horsemanship is second to none. With that said, this bit, he really found that middle ground. And, you know, when I first looked at it, I didn't quite get it, you know, and I worked off a picture to get this design right. And it took a while. It took me a long time to get this design exactly how he wanted it, because down to the length of the stem where the outside, where that Pelham ring is, you know, that affects how the bit works. And he wanted it very specific measurement, and I had to get it there. And it's not always simple when you're welding and hand tooling to get that exact measurement, but we did. So the swellum is very interesting. As you mentioned, combines a swale and a pelum. A lot of people ask me about that half moon element. Why did we go with that? Why did he go with that? Well, it's, I think, to leave more clearance. And again, I'm not going to speak on the behalf of Carl. I'm going to do my best to give my interpretation of what I believe he meant to do with the bit. So that half moon shape, okay, instead of a traditional swale, has, you know, a ring. This is different. This leaves more clearance for the horse's face, reduces pinching. I actually think it's genius because, you know, imagine you have this thing on inside, kind of like a Wilson snaffle, you know, with four rings, and it eats up so much space, right? And it's, you have the risk that it can get caught and it can pinch and it can this. But with this bit, he took away that risk, if you will. Of course, it still goes around the mouthpiece, but nothing that a bit guard or bit tape or something can't control, versus the large ring, kind of, you can't control it. It is what it is. It's very anatomically correct. It follows the shape of the horse's face, and it just makes sense. So when we talk about combining a swale and a pelum, well, it's true, because the last stride in front of it, when especially you've ridden with a swale, so you know what I'm talking about, you lose the feeling. It's like they disappear a little bit from under you.
You're the like, head goes away. Like, you have
you're
no
like,
head.
Where is it? Like, where's my,
literally,
where's the connection? You know, you have a feeling until you don't have a feeling. And then when you don't have a feeling, you're like, where did it go? There's no stability. There's no, you can't stabilize. You can't just take a feel with the mouth. That last few steps, and this was masterfully achieved with this bit, because you can ride it like a normal swale in just those last four or five steps to take a connection in front of the, you know, take a connection with the mouth in front of the fence. You can get that because you can stabilize and just create that little bit of connection that leaves more room in front of the fence and allows you to get that better jump without the horse becoming lost, if you will, right? I find that curb pressure is really effective, but sometimes you need something to stabilize with. I've had a lot of riders try this bit. They told me this actually, you know, it looks bizarre until you try it. And then when you try it, you're like, this actually is a game changer, because there's so many horses that hate pole pressure. And now you have this swale, but now you have this stability without adding leverage in pole pressure, and people are just going mental for it because there are so many horses that need that, right? A curb gag kind of does that if you think about it, because you can use the gag ring itself without the curb to create that effect, but it's not the same because it doesn't, it's just not the same.
No, and honestly, like you said it, I tried the swale, and when I saw the swale hem bit, I was like, it's literally a bit of in between, because I'm a huge fan of Pelhams in general. Like I think they're so, I love them. So since it's like kind of like good, because my horse was a little annoyed and I was like the same, I was like, I get to a point in which I literally have no horse, like it's gone, and I don't like that feeling at all. Like that's why I stopped using it, because I was like, okay, these last three strides before the jump, I feel like I have no head in between me, like there's no head of my horse, like he just got decapitated in a moment. And then I was like, this doesn't feel good. And then he started to get annoyed, etc. And then I said, like, you know how there's a lot of things that you can use, like you can cover the bit in latex, or you can use the curb chain and like cover it also with like some vet wrap or something, you know, like there's things that you can do, you know. But I was like, no, this is not working, like, you know, just move away. And when I saw it, I was like, yep, this is, seems like a good match in between, because there's that limit, you know, like even the shank and everything, like it just adds a little bit more of a limitation compared to the swale bit. So I feel like it's a little more accurate, and it's a little more, yeah, it's definitely going to be more effective without losing too much of the stability that you mentioned.
That's really interesting with the Pelham, because you can stabilize with the Pelham, you can use it with a converter, you can do so many things. You can play with the shank length. That's why when I was speaking with Carl, he's like, I want two shank lengths. I said, you know what, it's a really good idea. And we mastered the perfect balance between the two lengths, that it wasn't too short, and then the long wasn't too long, that it was, you know, a huge difference. They're different, but they aren't like, you know, two light years away from each other. They're similar. It's like when you just need that fine tune adjustment, that's where you go, short, long.
That was a really good call, because sometimes the shank difference for between short and long, it's too much. You're like, I need like in between, you know, some Pelhams have that like too drastic short and long shank. So I feel like the fact that you guys made it for it to be not too short and not too long, it's like perfect, because you do need that little bit extra shank for some type of horses and stuff. It can make a lot of a big difference. So I think that was a really good call that you guys had.
It took us some trial and error together to figure out what was that short and long. You know, I know what I do for AJR bits, right, in general. You know, I do baby Pelhams around either 100 or 110, and the normal Pelhams are normally 125 or 130, so they're very consistent. There's a sample. We follow our sample, and we do it the same every single time. And the guy that does the Pelhams, his hand is so accurate, and he sits there, and he makes sure that they're perfect, because if we're off more than 2 millimeters, we have failed our job. There's a 2 millimeter margin of error on a mouthpiece when it's made by hand, on a shank when it's made by hand. Not more than that, because more than that changes it. That's a size, right? So you have to allow for 2 millimeters of error, but we have reduced that error to almost a half a millimeter. I mean, it doesn't even exist.
It's fabulous. Thank you so much to Francesca for joining us today, and Adam for answering all the questions. And of course, thank you all for listening. And we would love to know your comments and feedback. And if there's anything you want to know, ask the questions in the comments or send me a DM, and we'll get you on board. Thanks for joining us today, everybody.
Yep. Thank you.